You know, every once in a while, there's something that you think you know, and there's something that you think you know. And yet, and yet when you're asked about it, it's kind of like, well, maybe I really don't know what that is, right? I think I've used the example of time before, right? Who knows what time is? Right? Everybody knows what time is, right? But then it's like, okay, well, what is it? And you start to try to figure out, how would you explain it to somebody? It's like, well, we have 24 hours in a day. Okay, but what's time? It's kind of hard to really explain what it is. Owen? The past, present, and the future? Yeah, that's a good explanation. It's kind of hard to really wrap your mind around this thing. And so when we look at what does it mean that God is holy? It's like, well, we know what holiness means, right? Kinda. Just don't ask me to explain it. Like, I know it when I see it, just don't ask me to explain it. And, you know, if you read some different commentaries and what does holy mean, you'll hear a lot of, well, we think it means this, and we kind of think it means this, and we kind of think it means this, and it definitely means some of this and over here. So instead of telling you what I think or what man thinks, we're just going to look at some scriptures and we're going to see what scripture says holiness means. And we're going to kind of see three different aspects of what holiness means. What does it mean that God is holy? So the first aspect of holiness means set apart. Set apart. Holiness as set apart, or something unique, something separate from everything else. In Exodus 28 through 11, we have an example of this. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is with you in the gate, within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." What did he do? He set it apart from the other days. He said, here's 6 days, and then there's something special. There's this seventh day over here that you are to separate, and you're to rest. You're to do something different, right? Not go about your normal daily routine, but you're to do something different. It's supposed to be set apart. It's unique. It's holy. And we see that God is holy. 1 Samuel 2:2, "No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you." Hannah prayed this after she received Samuel from the Lord. "Nor is there any rock like our God." Isaiah 45:5-7 says, "I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun unto its setting that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all of these things." God is saying, now in this time and place where God is testifying through the prophet Isaiah, many of the countries were pluralistic in their worship. They worshipped many, many, many gods. And most of the gods were territorial gods, right? Israel's God was over Israel. And the Philistines' gods were over Philistine. And if you conquered another territory, you would actually bring their god into your collection of gods, and you would actually worship their god too. But they were a lesser god than your god because your god had conquered their god, right? Well, our God, the God of Israel, is saying, hey, I am unique. I'm different. I'm claiming to be above all other gods. Matter of fact, I'm only claiming to be above all the other gods. I'm claiming to be the only God. There is no other God besides me. Only I am the one who have created the heavens and the earth. I am the creator. We also see this idea of set apart not only as something different, but as something above, transcendent. Isaiah 57:15 says, "For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is Holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Here God says, I am high and above. He is transcendent, right? He is outside of his creation. He is over it. He is above it. And he is transcendent. That's another of God's attributes, transcendent. And so we see this idea of holiness as something set apart, and we see an example of that as a day of the week. Okay, one day of the week. So a time can be set aside as holy. As a matter of fact, the Israelites were to set aside the Sabbath day, and they were to set aside certain things that they were not to do on the Sabbath day. Is it appropriate for us to set aside time and make it holy? Yes, very appropriate. Maybe you have a special time in the morning that you set aside to worship God in your own personal life. What a wonderful thing to do, right? That's a good thing. Maybe you have a special time of the year, right? This year we're entering into our Thanksgiving and our Christmas part of the year, right? And for many, it's actually what? The most wonderful time of the year, right? I say Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year because the whole world slows down, or maybe speeds up, but the whole world takes time to worship Jesus. Everywhere you go, you walk into the store, and there's Christmas all around, right? And some people obviously lose the true meaning of Christmas, which is our job to remind them. I like to do that. I hope you do too. But yeah, what a wonderful time of the year. What a holy time of the year that we set apart to worship Jesus. So holiness is something as set apart in God's situation, a transcendent being over all. Holiness is also awe-inspiring. Awe-inspiring. It inspires fear into us. Psalms 96:9 says, O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, tremble before him all the earth. When we see God's holiness, when we even see just a portion of it manifested into our lives, we should tremble. Like, wow, what a power that is that God has that he could put into my life. We see an example of this in Exodus chapter 3, 1 through 6. It says, Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to the Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he sees this bush burning over here, a ways away. It's burning. It's burning. It's burning. A little bush out in the middle of the desert. How can it burn that long? I mean, it's just dry as... How long do you think it'd take a bush to burn in the middle of the desert? And it just keeps burning. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight of why the bush does not burn. And so when the Lord saw that, he turned aside to look. So when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Moses recognized that the holiness of God is not something to be trifled with. It's not something to just, oh, wow, no biggie, right? This is something that inspires awe, fear, right? If we look throughout Scripture, we see that is the common response when people come before either an angel or before God is they get down on the ground and they hide their face because they are afraid. It also inspires wonder. Exodus chapter 15, this is a portion of Moses' song after they had went through the Jordan River and God had saved them. Moses is singing a song recounting the whole thing about how God had taken them out of Egypt and had led them up to the edge of the Jordan River, right? And here Pharaoh and all of his army is coming after them. What are they going to do? And here God tells Moses to raise his rod. And God held back the waters and they walked across on dry land. Well, hey, that's just as easy for Pharaoh, right? He's got horses and chariots and he's going to go right after him. Exodus 15, 9 through 13 says, after the children of Israel crossed the Jordan on dry... Actually, no, I'm sorry. Exodus 15, 9 through 13 says, the enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall have its fill of them. I will draw my sword and my hand shall destroy them. And then Moses says, you blew with your wind and the sea covered them and they sank like lead in the mighty waters. And then Moses sings, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand and the earth swallowed them up. And you have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. And you have guided them by your strength to your holy abode. God's holiness is revealed in the wonders of his creation, the wonders of the way he leads his people, the wonders of his guiding, even the wonder that he loves you and me. But we see here in this example of awe inspiration that not only can a day or a time be considered holy, but also a place can be considered holy. Right? A lot of us are raised to think of this building, especially this part of the building, the sanctuary, as a special place. Right? We teach our kids, don't run in the sanctuary. Right? We don't say, don't run in the church. Although we often mean that, right? Don't run at all. But we say don't run in the sanctuary. Why? Because this is a special part of the building. This is where we come to worship God. This is a very special place. And we set it aside. And in our country, right, we encourage and promote the building of churches, and we make them non-taxable. Why? Because it's a special place. We want to promote this activity of worshiping God in this special place. So we see that times can be holy, places can be holy. The third thing we're going to see, or the third aspect of holiness that we're going to consider, is holiness as consecration or cleansing. The idea of purity, moral purity. Leviticus 11:44 through 45 says, I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the ground. Here he's talking about their dietary laws. And he's saying, I am setting you apart to be different. Now, is it wrong to eat something that creeps on the ground? Is that a sin? We wouldn't consider that a sin, would we? Not today. But here he's saying, Israelites, I'm setting you apart to be different. I want you to think differently. I want you to act differently. I want you to look differently. He says, for I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither you shall defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth, for I am the Lord who brings you out of the land of Egypt to be your God, and you shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. God is saying, I am pure. And I want you to know something about me, and I want you to experience something about me by being different than everybody else. By being pure. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, therefore, having these promises of God, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. As Christians, we're to take that and apply it to our own life and recognize that although the world is chasing after all of these things that our flesh desires, we are to be different. We have a different pursuit. We have a different aim, a different purpose. It is to cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh and spirit, and to perfect holiness in the fear of God. God wants us to be holy. God is holy. He is unique, transcendent, set apart. God is holy. He is awe-inspiring. God is holy. He is morally pure and right, perfect righteousness. And He wants us to be pure and right as well. Here we see in Hebrews 13:4 an example of this. Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. He says there's something here that I want you to make holy. In this relationship between a man and a woman, the bed, the marriage bed, is to be something holy. And you are to be morally pure by making this act holy. This holy activity between a man and a woman. And you are to keep it holy, and if you don't, God will judge you. Isaiah 6, 1 through 8 says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above it stood seraphim, each one had six wings. Two he covered his face, two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. And so I said," this is Isaiah the prophet, "so I said, 'Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' And then one of the seraphim flew to me, and having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it, and he said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away. Your sin is purged.' And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And then I said, 'Here am I. Send me.'" God wants us to be holy, because He is holy. But He has a purpose that He wants us to be holy for. He has something that He wants you to accomplish in your holiness. He has a purpose that He is trying to prepare you for. We talked about that in Sunday school, right? It's like, God, I'm walking along to your perfect will, right? And so oftentimes it's actually not like that. It's more like, right? God is preparing us. He has something He wants you to accomplish. And first we must purify our own lives. We must pursue the holiness of God in our own lives, so that God can send us out to do the work He has called us to do. 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation." Who's he talking about? He's talking about you. He's talking about me. He's talking about our church family at Memorial Baptist in Parkson, South Dakota. He's talking about the whole entire church. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." My prayer for you this morning is that you know that you have obtained this mercy. If you don't know that, Christ died for your sins. And all you have to do is repent and turn to Him and say, "God, please help me. I need your help. I want to live the way you want me to live. I want to have the life that you want me to have, and I'm willing to follow you. And I receive the forgiveness that your Son provided on the cross." But if you do know that you have received that, maybe you're missing out on pursuing the holiness. Maybe you're missing out on setting aside certain things in your life that you need to set aside to allow God to bless. Maybe you need to purify some things from your life so that God can bless. Maybe you aren't trusting God in some areas of your life because you're not sure if He's able to do the task. We need to pursue God's holiness in our life so that He can send us out to be that holy nation, that royal priesthood. Let's close in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, what a wonder You are. What a wonderful wonder You are. Lord, Your ways are much higher than our ways. We are, as Cody would say, simple people, oftentimes. And Lord, we need Your wisdom, Your guidance, Your direction to help us understand, Lord, what it is that we need to do to glorify You. But sometimes, Lord, we also need holiness. Sometimes we know the right thing to do, and it's that pursuit of holiness that we lack. It's that pursuit of being different, being set apart, recognizing that we are not like everybody else. Yeah, maybe we'll still be a Christian, but that's not what God made us for. God made us to be different, to set a different example, to stand up for something greater than ourselves, to stand up for Him. And Lord, we do need to set aside times in our life. We need to set aside places in our life. We need to set aside activities in our life as holy. But Lord, we also need to recognize that because of Your Son, because of the sacrifice that He made on the cross, because He has purified our life with Your Spirit, Lord, all of our life is to be holy. Every aspect of it, because God dwells within us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the dwelling place of God now. And it is to be holy. We are to be holy. So Lord, I pray that You would give us that strength. Give us what we need to pursue the holiness that You desire in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.